All right, everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily on this Tuesday. And, you know, gold was looking a little shaky earlier this morning, but that dip is getting bought up. We're back over $2,400 per ounce, actually $2,406 on the front month futures basis. Silver, on the other hand, is down on the day to $28.36. We're going to get a corporate update here from Minera Alamos. They did put out an update on their Santana operations this morning, and we're happy to report that on the podcast in the morning briefing. So to give us his corporate commentary today is the Doug father himself, president of Minera Alamos, Mr. Doug Ramshaw. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Trevor. Good to be with you again.
Good to see you. You know, it was a pretty quick update, but it sounds like the mining contractor is on site, ramping up for activities to begin actually mining here in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, we put out that February 22nd release that we'd figured out a mining plan for the next 12 months that can take advantage of our existing pad capacity. But we also said in that one, we've got to dot some I's, cross some T's, talk to the mining contractor, because ramping up the mining activities, he was going to be bringing new equipment on site, more personnel. That was going to take a little bit of time. And I realized that we left that February 22nd release kind of hanging out there with some question marks on that. Well, you know, today's release wasn't meant to be about rockets and fireworks flying, but it was about closing the loop on the February 22nd one to say, yeah, at the beginning of this month, actually right at the end of March, the contractor was mobilized at site, and now they're just prepping everything to get going in the next week, roughly, on upping the mining activities at site, which obviously 2023 was that year we want to kind of forget about, where we paired everything back. This is a major shift forward for Santana while we wait on the permit amendment. And we decided we shouldn't sit on our hands. Our shareholders shouldn't sit on our hands. We can get back to meaningful gold production, meaningful cash generation. So this was closing that chapter in a way on that February 22nd release, which showed our intent. Now that intent has kind of solidified into an actual actionable plan that is being actioned on.
There's a couple of different bullet points. I think it's a pretty quick news release, but there's a couple of bullet points we should probably hit on here, Doug. And I do want to ask you about, the difference between that Nicho Norte starter pit and then that Nicho main zone. Because you mentioned implementing new sampling procedures. I mean, we're kind of getting into the weeds here. But why is this important? Why should retail investors care about new sampling procedures?
That's more a glimpse into Darren and the operating team's mind. Like so Nicho Main presents a couple of things that are really attractive relative to Nicho Norte. I mean, to start with, there's better haulage road access to it than how we had to get to the Nicho Norte pit. It's closer to the pad, so your haul times are slow. So all those are greatly beneficial. It's also in 2023, we pre-stripped it, so we're ready to go. But there's certain stuff that you can't enact almost until you're ready to go. Like, optimizing blast patterns is all about trying to get the correct amount of fragmentation just from your explosive blasts so that you're not having to push much material through the crusher, and you can do much more of it run of mine straight to the pad. They're all little things you can't actually do pre-getting going. And what Darren will want to do is make sure that we don't get ahead of ourselves. We just take this time to kind of formulate exactly what our strategy is on blast patterns and the like, before you just go hell for leather and realize you're actually not doing stuff that can optimize gold recoveries and optimize, overall cash flow from operations. So better to actually get out ahead of that now. But you can only really do it. It's not something we could have done 6 months ago. Really, as we're opening up a brand new pit, you're implementing this stuff at the same time. And every time we've, back even in early 2022, we had some data from late 2021, and we spent a few weeks using that data to optimize things, which actually led to increased recoveries and less crushing requirements and the like in 2022. So every time we've taken that little bit of extra time, and in this case, it's a matter of weeks as we're starting to you know, and some of this work will be ongoing while we're putting material on the pad. So it's not like you do all this optimization work and then you go, you start stacking. You're doing some of it in parallel. But every time we've done it, we've seen economic benefits from it. And ultimately, we're trying to extract the best, highest economic benefit from the deposit. So they're smart things, but that's kind of a glimpse into the mind of our operating team. Yeah, probably we'll get lost and maybe even confused by shareholders.
That hauling road is kind of getting diverted. Actually, is going to be reduced. The distance is going to be reduced. So obviously, there's some optimization there as far as you know, cost per ounce produced. I mean, I don't know how meaningful that would be if you know, once we get some financials, maybe you can go dig through those weeds if you'd like. But you know, let's talk about it. It sounds like the stacking operations, the actual like production, is going to be ramping up here as we kind of move through Q2. You know, what is the expectation for gold production when you start reporting Q2, Doug, given kind of this ramp up? And what is, you know, obviously it's maybe not fully optimized at that point, but you'd start having to give a little bit of, I don't know if you could loosely call it guidance for Q3 and the rest of year.
Yeah, we said in the release that the benefits of this new plan will be felt over a 12-month period starting in Q3. Because really Q2, you're stacking new material on the pad. So you're going to see inventory building up. But as you're stacking, you're not immediately necessarily running your drip lines over the new area that you're putting fresh material on the pad. So so we are pretty open in there that this is, you know, the benefits of this plan will be felt from Q3 onwards. The other nice thing about this is it's going to be the first time for a while that we put meaningful new material on the pad. Like we're sitting with a pad that has close to 6,000 ounces of recoverable gold within the existing leach pad that hasn't been leached out yet. And it's only efficient in terms of reagent use, cyanide use, to actually be trying to get that inventory gold out of the pad by putting new layers of material on above. And then as the cyanide solutions flow through the new material, well, some of that cyanide will pick up and extract some of the inventory gold as well. So we're sitting with, you know, a very large amount of dollars in the ground, the ground being our heap leach pad inventory, and some of that should come out too. So the plan over the next 12 months is, you know, to load at roughly 25,000 ounces of gold on the pad. You know, arguably based on historical recoveries that we're talking about, that should be 17,000-18,000 ounces of gold recovered. And then hopefully some of the excess inventory that's already in the pad. So whilst it's not a meaningful amount of gold production, say relative to, you know, our next mine that we have planned, you know, even at lower gold prices, we know that, you know, that kind of production rate is going to spit off a lot of free cash flow. And so we'll take the gravy of higher gold prices, absolutely. But in reality, getting this company back to being cash generating to start producing meaningful gold and gold that makes money, not just gold for the sake of producing gold. We've always been mindful, you know, it was important last year. We decided we could have given what the market wanted and tried to push production rates because, hey, more gold. But in reality, it didn't make sense at the time. The water situation is resolved. We have a plan on the pad expansion that probably will see us pivot away from using the pad capacity we've got right now to expanding. And that's not, there are ways, there are plans we're formulating that should allow us, even if we're waiting on the permit amendment, to to effectively expand the pad capacity that we've got there. And that's something that's a few months away, but it will mean that during this next 12-month period, expect to see us pivot back to plan A, because plan B that we're using right now is plan B for a reason. It's not quite as efficient as what we'd always wanted to do, which was expand the pad and stack as efficiently as possible. Yeah. But I'll leave that hanging there with no other clue, other than to say there's always stuff that doesn't make it into press releases or that we can't talk about that we are affecting behind the scenes. Just like this plan, right? Like, you know, I think everyone expected nothing meaningful from Santana until there was a permit amendment. And then over the Christmas break, we decided we would affect a plan that could utilize the existing pad capacity. And that's what we put out in February. And that's what we reiterated has now started as of April. Mm. So there's always stuff like that working behind the scenes that doesn't make it into press releases.
Well, and it's kind of been fascinating to watch how your equity has been trading. You know, the last news before this was late February, right? It was, and I like to call it $350 ago on the gold price. Yeah. And we knew something like this was taking place. And so you put out this news, and this is just kind of me speaking out loud and editorializing. Feel free to jump in if you'd like. But listen, I've been a shareholder for this company for a very long time. But it's shocking to see when you put out news like this saying we're going to move forward with some gold production. Is it the most optimized gold production process that we would like to do? Not really. But listen, instead of waiting for this permit amendment, we got to continue to provide some sort of cash flow because we can. And so you put this out here and all of a sudden what almost seems like a guarantee without the permit amendment, you sell down, you're down like 6% on the day. It's like a liquidity event. It's like 2022 all over again. And I'm just kind of here scratching my head and just thinking like, listen, like $350 of pure margins added on to this project. I mean, you know, that's pretty remarkable. I don't understand why. I just don't understand the selling. I don't understand how your market trades, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, I was a little flummoxed at the reaction today. I mean, we shouldn't have moved up strongly on this news, but news events, everyone craves news. News drives liquidity events. So how many liquidity events do you want in the year? And we'll write that number of press releases. But to be honest, I'm not surprised because I think in a market like this where stuff is moving, there is an opportunity cost of staying true to, you know, believing in the team, believing in the project, believing in the business model. I think the business model is as sound as it's ever been. You know, the projects, you know, have had their issues. Good teams work through those issues. It doesn't always come pain-free, but good teams work through those issues. But it really doesn't. So you put out a news release today and probably there was very limited selling, 400,000 or 500,000 shares at the beginning, which is a fraction of our 460 million shares. But it was enough to drive some initial sentiment. And then some buying came in. And I saw the frustrations of people. But this wasn't going to turn on a dime, right? The point was putting a plan in effect that could show a turning was underway. And there are definitely headwinds in Mexico and everything else, sentiment. But I think more than anything, maybe people didn't understand the February press release, you know, or those few people that sold didn't understand the February press release, which was very meaningful in terms of capturing this gold market. If we were just saying, nope, we're going to sit on our hands and this could be a repeat of 2023 until the permit amendment comes, well, you're giving no reason to own the stock, that there are other companies that can take advantage of the gold price move. But I do like the fact that our business model actually is about producing gold that can take advantage of this gold move. So companies like ours and company, you know, and the producers are the ones who should reap the benefits of a gold price move. A discovery play maybe might find it a little easier to raise a bit of money to drill and hope that Mother Nature has bestowed them something. But you know, our business model is designed about capturing the gold market. And when we produce gold, we've made a very healthy margin on it. 2023, we reined things back in to protect the balance sheet. We still got a very healthy financial position. We have circa 13 million at year end. And now we're in a position to actually be producing gold again and making money, whether gold's $2,200 an ounce and has pulled back to that in Q3, or it's $2,400, $2,500 an ounce. And so,
Sorry to interrupt, but what about your costs? Have you noticed any of your significant costs coming up in the last, 6 months?
No, I mean, the strength of the peso has had an impact, but honestly, our cost structure down there is so minimal that we really, I mean, even going in, when everyone was dealing with their inflationary pressures in 2022, our cash costs, you know, for 2022 complete were like 1180 Canadian, which was a, you know, less than 900 US ASIC. Less than 900 US cash costs, I should say. And really, we have virtually no sustaining capital. So that was very much in line with our pre-pandemic, pre-building it kind of ideas. And that was also with those, with those costs spread over only about 12,000 ounces over that period. So everyone knows a strength of our business model is building these low capital intensity projects. That's a given. You can see it in the PEAs with La Fortuna and Cerro de Oro. We also have, I think, enviable operating costs. Does it come with its issues in Mexico that maybe you don't face in the US or Canada or Australia? Sure, but those cost curves in tier one jurisdictions are going to be very sticky on the high end. We can mine and produce very cost effectively in Mexico. And I mean, I don't even want to know when we get the permits for Cerro de Oro, and I have absolutely no reason to believe we don't get those this year. We have that funding package lined up. So everyone's going to know we can get it and build it. And I think very quickly, we're going to have a rubber band effect in the stock when on that day of that news, there won't be a time to react because people will know, wow, Cerro de Oro is going to get built. And now let's start running it at $1,800 or $2,000 an ounce rather than what we ran it in the PEA at $1,600. And we'll see just what a huge contributor to the company it is. I mean, Santana is going to feel like a rounding error, in many ways relative to what Cerro de Oro can do. But Santana's rounding error can be a $10 million plus annual ATM for the company, which covers a lot of things that we do as a company, moving forward. So, is there some patience still required by our shareholders? Absolutely. Are there days where they're going to get frustrated? And a few clearly got frustrated initially today. Yes, but there were also some big buyers that came into the stock today that could kind of read the tea leaves as well. And we're always trying to lay some breadcrumbs there. But, probably to sum up the market response, there was a time where the market put a huge amount of trust and faith in our words and actions. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a lot of things right early on that warranted that support and faith. And I think right now, and we can work ourselves out of this, it's not a trust what they're saying. It's a show us. It's a show me story. So we are trying to put the press releases together and the news flow on progress at Santana to demonstrate the show me side of it, as opposed to them just being words in a call like this or on a presentation, whatever. So today's news was more meaningful than I think the market reaction was. But, I also know every time we put out a PEA, our market has responded very well because the economics of our projects are phenomenal. But a lot of releases across the sector are liquidity events. Should there have been a liquidity event when we hadn't been tracking the market? It's a little disappointing, I'm sure, for our shareholders, that instead of like, okay, a reassuring press release that supports and maybe can allow us to build off this base, there's kind of another swoon effect. And some of the frustration was palpable from people I was talking to this morning, but others got it. And that's what makes a market, right, Trevor?
Yeah, well, hopefully this conversation helps clear the airs for anybody questioning anything. And Doug's always, I know he's always available to answer any questions. It probably makes himself more available than a lot of other management teams, I'll be quite honest with you. But I appreciate you answering those questions.
To everyone but Mr. Sean Mamos, who knows who he is. And he loves to email me every day with his daily frustrations. And he should have realized from a Twitter post I did that because of his rude and abusive approach, his emails just go straight to my junk folder via, but everyone else has been able to get hold of me, and I am very, very contactable. So welcome.
There is a certain line of respect investors must uphold to, I will say.
I would
that,
like
so.
To think. And you know what? I'm quite prepared for the slings and arrows that come at me, but do it in a respectful manner, and you'll always get a respectful and informed response.
All right. Doug, thanks so much for your time. We'll touch base again as news from Santana and the other projects continue to come through the wire this year. Special thanks for your time.
Thanks, Trevor.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.